All right, good morning again. And as we would say in Trinidad, pleasant good morning to you. And it's so good to be back. And I sure do appreciate your pastor and his wife. And I'll remember when we were on deputation, it was a new, it was all new to us living on the road and having a few kids with us and homeschooling the kids and living out of motels and hotels and pastors' homes. And sometimes you can throw yourself a little pity party. Have you ever done that? Have you ever thrown one of those? And it was around Thanksgiving time, and we were talking about, my wife and I, we didn't have a formal Thanksgiving. I think we had a turkey sandwich or something like that, and we were thankful for that. But happened to come through, and Mrs. Codner, we were invited over for lunch, and she threw a full Thanksgiving meal for us. And I don't know if they always do that, if that's a tradition. You know, I don't know. That's a great tradition to have, but it wasn't Thanksgiving. Was it leftovers? No, it wasn't leftovers. It was, but we're sitting there eating, I mean, just the greatest Thanksgiving meal. I mean, all the sides, all the stuffing and the gravy, and I mean, all that good stuff. And we just thought, boy, God, you're so good. You're so good. You gave us our Thanksgiving meal. And I don't know if you, that was so special to us. And it's amazing how God works, isn't it? Yeah. It really is. And one of the blessings of being a missionary and visiting churches is you get to see the body of Christ in action and the love of Christ and just how God has hands and feet and elbows and fingers, and it's all working together to take care of each other for His glory. God is so good, isn't He? Yeah. It's good to be saved. And so thank you again. It's been over about 5 years. You've been supporting us. And God is so good. He's been blessing in Trinidad, and it's good to be back with you. So please take your Bibles this morning, open to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14. We're going to read about 12 verses, and I want to give you some spiritual thoughts this morning to maybe challenge you and help you to get stretched a little bit for the Lord. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to begin reading in verse 22. And I'll tell you, why don't we stand this morning for the reading here, and we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our message. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him, and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith." I don't know about you, but I've never walked on water before, he said, "O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." I want to preach to you this morning on getting out of your boat. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's our prayer that this morning that our faith would increase, that we might do miraculous things for you as you work in us. But Lord, we know if that's going to happen, we have to get out of our boat to see it happen. So help us, Lord, to increase our faith that we might overcome our fear and watch you work in our lives. We pray that you'd help us to get out of our boat. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you can be seated. And so we're talking this morning about getting out of our boat. Some would say getting out of your box, your comfort zone, whatever it might be. But I believe, church, there is a great, great need today for God's people to get out and speak up. It's an amazing thing what's happening in the United States of America. And I want to tell you, I'm proud to be an American. I believe this is the greatest place to live. And when you know, I was a culture guy before I became a missionary. I loved culture. We were talking, I love curry and different foods and different things. But when you have to live around that 24/7, you develop an appreciation for where you came from. And I'm telling you, driving through Pennsylvania here, it's so beautiful. I never realized how beautiful it was here. We were at my son-in-law's softball game the other night. And all kinds of kids around, and there was a police officer there. And all the kids were around a police officer, and he was handing them out stickers and just trying to encourage them. I tell you, it brought a tear to my eye. You wouldn't see that in a lot of countries. Matter of fact, you want to avoid the police officers. In Trinidad, in our neighborhood not too long ago, there were some police officers that kidnapped someone, just pulled her off the street and held her for ransom. And so I'm just saying, I'm glad to be back in America. I believe this is a wonderful place to live. But in spite of that, we still have a lot of problems here, don't we? I told my son, Mateo, I said, Mateo, if you would have told me when I was your age what was going to take place in America, we would have laughed at you. We'd say, never, that's impossible. But it's a sad day that we live in with all the blessings that God has given us. Perversion has come out of the closet, and I'm afraid Christians have gone in. Yeah. It's about time for God's people to step out and speak up. Amen. Why is it? Why is it that we're not doing that today? I believe the same reason why it was only Peter that got out of the boat. Fear. Fear. I believe we have a fear problem as Christians today. And I'm speaking to myself as well. God's given me some victory over some things. But I still have some fears in my life that I want to have my faith increase so I don't let my fear drive me. Amen. You know, we have about 35,000 thoughts that pass through our minds every day. Neuroscientists say that 95% of our decisions are based on feelings. And I think God's people are a little bit too feeling-oriented today. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, just look at what's happening when someone goes to look for a church today. I was on staff at Hope for 9 years, and part of my job there was to find visitors and see where they're coming from and what they're thinking. And most people today, when they look for a church, it's feeling-oriented. How does the music make me feel? Do I get the warm, fuzzy feelings in the worship and the music? They're trying to find truth through music. You know, music is a blessing from God, but music is dangerous. Music can make you feel. Amen? And so people are just feeling driven today. And sometimes we have to realize that we got to do what we don't feel. We got to live our lives according to fact, according to the Word of God, according to faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. And I told you, you know, in Trinidad, the Pentecostal, great song there, Pentecostal Power. Amen. I like that. Went well with the Sunday school. You know, in Trinidad, the Pentecostals are taking over. You know what Pentecostal theology is? It's feeling-oriented. It's sight-oriented. They want to see miracles. They want to see healings. They want to see. Listen, I don't need to see anything. I walk by faith. I got the Word of God, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for everything I need to make me perfect in Christ. I don't need to see anything. I think children need to see things. I think immature Christians are always looking for the outward manifestation to support their faith. We don't need that. We walk and we live by faith. So here we are this morning. Fear is a factor in our lives. And I think one of the ways that God's people can step out of their boat is to overcome their fear. How do we do that? We need God's help. Everything I am in Christ is by the Holy Spirit of God. Look at Acts chapter 1. Hold your finger in Matthew chapter 14. But I want to show you something here. Acts chapter 1. And what is it that made the difference in the early church in overcoming their fear? I mean, think about it. Nero is chopping off heads. If you were a Jew and you became a believer in Christ, you lost your family. You lost your temple, your sense of community. You couldn't go to the temple. And what was it that allowed these early believers to overcome their fear? Look in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. and ye shall be witnesses. That's Pentecostal power right there. After the Holy Ghost, and ye shall become witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth. You want to talk about getting out of your box. The Lord said, when you get the Holy Spirit of God, the baptism of the Spirit, you're going to go into all the world as a witness. Now that's getting out of your box. I mean, going all around the world. How do we do that? How do we get out of our boat and go where God's called us to go? The only way we can do it, that pivotal point, is the Holy Spirit of God being filled with the power of God, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now we need to ask ourselves every single day, am I filled with the Spirit of God? I mean, am I completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God? I mean, it's a command in Ephesians. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Some of you, you may have been like me, and you know what it's like to be filled with wine. Don't raise your hand. But before I was a Christian, I went to bars, I went to nightclubs. And I know the devastating consequences of being filled with alcohol. By the way, you can't mess around with alcohol and be filled with the Spirit. No moderation in drinking, no social drinking. Ain't going to happen. As soon as you put that devilish drink in your body, you have quenched the Spirit of God. But I know what it's like to be filled and drunk with alcohol. There's some side effects that go with that. You know what that is? Well, number one, you're very generous. Drinks on me. I mean, everybody, you know, you get very generous. You want to buy people drinks. But I'll tell you another side effect. You lose your fear, your inhibition, and you'll pick a fight. I remember picking fights with guys three times my size when I was under the influence of alcohol. I lost my fear. I lost my mind. I can tell you that the dumbest decisions I ever made were under the influence of alcohol. Now let's come over on this side, being filled with the Spirit. You know what happens when we get filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Yes, we're generous. God puts it on your heart. Yeah, you got to give to missions. Hey, yeah, you give your tithe regularly. Yeah, you give offerings on top. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're generous in your giving. But another side effect of the Spirit of God is you lose your fear. Well, it's there, but your fear doesn't control you. I mean, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And we have courage because we have Christ. And we let our faith overcome our fear. So I believe the pivotal point in your life and in my life of getting outside of our boat is the Holy Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God. And so let's go through these verses here. And I just want to give you some spiritual application back to Matthew chapter 14. And maybe you can apply these to your life and do something for the Lord. Verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Now that's very interesting because he had to constrain them. And you can look that word up in the dictionary. You might find some ideas on that. But basically to constrain someone is you have to strongly influence them. And Jesus had to constrain his boys to get in that ship. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gotten in. And he said, listen, look at that there. It says, to his disciples get into a ship and to go. Circle that word to go. To go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And so for some reason, the disciples did not want to get in that ship. They didn't want to obey. They did not want to go. And the Lord, I don't know if he had to say, fellas, come on, get in the ship. Well, Lord, look, there's a storm coming. I don't know what it was. But Lord, we're tired. We've had a very long day. We just want to take a rest. The Lord had to constrain them and say, I want you to go this way. Isn't that an amazing thing that the Lord of Lords has to constrain us to do certain things? To go. Now, I believe God has called each and every one of us to go do something. Again, we are the body of Christ. And each of you we each have certain callings and gifts and the will of God in your life, and you need to fulfill God's will. But isn't it an amazing thing that from the get-go, God had to constrain us even to get saved? Now, I am not a Calvinist, but I know my Bible says that we won't come to God on our own. The Holy Spirit of God has to woo us and draw us to Christ. We wouldn't even come to Him if it weren't for the Spirit of God having to constrain us. Remember when you got saved? Now, you were born with a depraved sin nature. You would never come to Christ. Matter of fact, God had to constrain you through the law. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. God had to break your heart and your mind and your spirit and your soul through the law, knowing that, man, I'm a sinner. If I offend in just one point, I'm guilty of all. Boy, I tell you, before I got saved, I was running from God and running from God and running from God. I wanted to live for myself, my sin, my pride, my ego. It was all about me. And God had to constrain me and knock me down to my knees where I had a place, no other place to look but up. And the love of Christ came and He saved me. And when I got saved, I realized, man, I was just running and running and running. From the get-go, God has to constrain us and influence us. And so He said, guys, I want you to get on that ship. I want you to get on that boat. And they didn't want to. I don't know why, but that's human nature, isn't it? And so here they are. They get on this ship. But why is it that they didn't want to go? Well, why is it that you don't always want to do what God wants you to do? Do you know that when God calls us to do something, we respond in obedience, yes, but most of the time it's going to take faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him, the Bible says. And so most of the time when God directs, He's going to direct in a direction that doesn't always make sense. It's not always going to be logical. Can I tell you why? Because He wants you to step out by faith, to step out of that boat by faith, out of what you're familiar with and what you know. And if you knew, I'm sure the disciples were, it might have been a storm. They said, this does not make sense. This just does not make sense. It's not supposed to. It's not supposed to. If you knew the end of everything that God wanted you to do, number one, you probably wouldn't do it. If I knew that God was going to call me to Trinidad, I probably wouldn't have gone to church that night. Because you got deputation. That doesn't make any sense. How is that going to happen? What, am I supposed to sell my house, quit my job? Where's the money going to come from? How is it? I mean, it would have made no sense to me. But do you know that not knowing the end is the greatest thing for you and the greatest thing for me? Because if we had all the answers of how everything was going to work, we would not need God. We would not trust in God. And so God gives us one step at a time. Say, well, Lord, I know you want me to go this direction. It doesn't really make any sense, but I'm going to step out in obedience and faith, and I'm going to take that step. People are going to be talking about you probably. Why did you do that? That didn't make any sense. You take that first step, and then guess what God does? He gives you a little bit more light for the next step. You say, oh, I see what you're doing here, Lord. You take another step, and you see God's path open up. And you trust Him each step. That's why He doesn't explain it all to you and to me. And by the way, the whole purpose is that we give Him glory. Yes. When it's all said and done, you say, yeah, I don't know. It didn't make sense. But now it's all because of Him. He opened the door. He made the way. It's all for Him. Boy, if we knew the end, we would say, well, yeah, I know exactly what I'm doing. Yeah, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It'd be all about us. And so we live by faith. By the way, we do know the end. The end is God's people gather around a throne for all of eternity, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and power and honor. Holy, holy, holy. That's how it all ends. Amen. We win. Amen. We glorify Him. And so why not just step out of the boat and trust the one that spoke this universe into existence? I mean, you know, His word is powerful. He's a pretty powerful God. If He can speak this thing into existence, don't you think He can take care of you when He calls you? I believe where God guides, He provides. Even Thanksgiving meals. Amen. Amen. All right, look at verse 23. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. Boy, oh boy. Thank the Lord for prayer. Now here's the Lord. He's up on a mountain. Here's the boys down in the ship. You know the Lord has a pretty good perspective of what's going on in your life. I mean, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, amen. Don't you think the Lord has a pretty good perspective, your shepherd, of where he's guiding you and directing you? Just remember this, when the Lord guides you somewhere, he's already walked there. You know, well, he doesn't know what this is like. Yes, he does. Does he know what it's like when family is against you? Yes. Does he know what it's like to bear the reproach? Oh, yeah. Does he know what it's like to have people make fun of him? Yeah. Does he know what pain is like and sorrow and death? Yeah, he knows everything that he's called you to. But he's got a pretty good perspective. He's inside of you. He's before you. He's behind you. He's above you. He's beneath you. He's everywhere. And he's up in heaven looking down on this situation. He's on the mountain looking down, and he's directing. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. At Hope Baptist in Toledo, in our gymnasium, and there's the upper room there where the teens meet, and there's a window, and you can look down on the gymnasium. And we had a teen activity once. It was kind of fun. We put a maze in the gym with tape. And up top was, you had your team member down here, and you were up here. You were on your phone, and he or she was on her phone. And they had to walk through that maze with blindfolded. And so your team member up there was looking down, good perspective. He said, okay, take 5 steps forward.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, stop. Okay, turn right. Okay, take 1 step. No, 1 step. Okay, stop. Okay, and you had to trust the person that could see everywhere that you were walking. And they had a hard time with that. They're teenagers. What do you expect? But you simply had to trust exactly where they told you to walk. And a lot of them are walking through, you know, like, all they had to do, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, walk through that thing. Just trust the voice. And you know what it is for you and I? We just have to trust the Word of God. As we're filled with the Spirit of God, the Word of God will bear witness with that Spirit. We'll have open doors. We'll have a burden. We'll have a calling. We'll have a direction. We just need to follow our shepherd. We sing the song, My Lord Knows the Way Through the Wilderness. All I have to do is follow. You want to talk about a scaredy cat? Right here, you're looking at one. I remember when the Lord called me into the ministry. I was scared to death. Matter of fact, the Lord used Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, about presenting your body a living sacrifice. Here I am, I'm in my mid-20s, just saved. I mean, excited about the Lord. And the only thing I could tell people about the Lord, but I could never get up in front of anybody and give a word of testimony or take the Word of God and expound the Word of God. Never could I ever do that. And the Lord came knocking one day on my heart. And I had no idea what it was. And I came home on a Sunday morning and lunch was made downstairs. And I told my wife, listen, I can't eat right now. She said, what's wrong? I said, I don't know, but I got to get alone with the Lord. And I remember in our bedroom just coming home from service and pacing back and forth. I thought, okay, Lord, what is going on here? What do I have in my life? What are you trying to do? And I remember getting on my knees and just praying and confessing and seeking God's face. And it was like the walls were closing in on me. And I had no idea what was going on. Matter of fact, when I heard my pastor say, you know, if the Lord's calling you to preach, you better answer that call. I thought that meant one of the deacons called you and said, hey, we need you to preach tonight. You better answer, you know. I had no idea what the call was. So here the walls are falling in, my heart is beating, and I feel this pressure, and I say, God, what do you want from me? And I went through a long list of things, and I said, well, Lord, I mean, the only other thing is you would want me to go into the ministry. And then I felt that pressure release a little bit. I said, whoa, wait a second, Lord, let me give you some reasons why I can't go into the ministry. I had about 20. The pressure was still there. I said, well, Lord, if I do that, pressure started to release a little bit. Here's what's going to happen, and I don't understand how this would ever work. And the Lord said to me as clear as day, all you have to do is follow me. Just follow me. Stay close. I'm your shepherd. Take one step at a time. And I said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. You know, it's an amazing thing when God says to go somewhere and it doesn't make sense and you trust Him, you get joy. You get peace. You get open doors. You get fruit. And I'm telling you, it's the greatest life we could ever live. But there's sacrifice that's involved. Sorry, Joel Osteen, sorry. There is some sacrifice involved. But that constrainment, that calling, that perspective. Verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Oh, great! He told us to get in this ship. We knew we shouldn't have gotten in here. Yep, that's what happens. When you step out by faith, you know there are a lot of contrary things to the will of God. Number one, the devil. Number two, the world. Number three, the flesh. And all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer nothing but loveliness. Yeah, the contrary things. Have you ever been there? You did something for the Lord and something bad happened and you questioned whether or not you should have. I had several people over the last year tell me, if I would have known this was going to happen to me, I would have never trusted Christ as my Savior. Whoa, that's some dangerous ground right there. Amen. You ever hear people say, well, every time I start really living for the Lord, bad things happen. Yeah. Yeah. But isn't he worthy? I was thinking about the Daniel and the boys and the fiery furnace. You know what they said? You know, our God is able, but if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to fall down to these false idols. Amen. Hey, I'm just saying he's worthy, regardless of the consequences. When God says go, go, Christian, go. Trust him, because we know the end of the story. We're going to heaven. Amen. Contrary things. Boy, that's our friend. Resistance is good for you. It's good for me. We can never grow without resistance. The more contrary things we have in our lives, the more we trust God. And God will reveal himself. Look at verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. You know what's good about when the storms come in our lives? That's when the Lord manifests himself. That's when the Lord comes, because that's when you really need him. If it weren't for the contrary things and the storms in your life, you would never get down on your knees and pray the way you pray. Now, there are storms of correction, and there are storms of perfection. Sometimes God will bring a storm to teach us something, but sometimes God will bring a storm because we've done naughty. Amen? Chastisement. I believe this is a storm of perfection. The Lord is trying to teach him something here. And so here he is. He comes walking on the water. Isn't our Lord creative? Isn't it amazing some of the people and the things that God can use to get our attention and the way he manifests himself in our lives? Here's the Lord. He's walking on water. Who would have thought of something like that? When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, verse 26, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. We have to be careful that when things get tough, that we don't get too mysterious and mystical with God. Again, that happens all the time. People are always looking for outward manifestations and spirits and coincidences. Hey, listen, just stick with the book. Just stick with what you're supposed to do. Just keep walking. Keep trusting. Don't get all mystical on God. Don't freak out. Faith out. They thought it was a spirit. Ah! Now they're just going crazy in their mind. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Excuse me? We are about to die, Lord. Number one, you're the one that called us out here, and we're about to die. We know what storms are like, and this is a bad storm. And you want us to rejoice and be of good cheer? We don't even know who you are. First of all, you could still be that freaky spirit trying to scare us and kill us right now. And you want us to rejoice? Absolutely. Absolutely. Boy, I tell you, if we can rejoice in storms, God can really do something. How are you when God sends a storm in your life? When the going gets tough? I mean, when it seems like all is lost and you're about to die, are you able to rejoice and have good cheer in the Lord? Well, I'm about to die. That's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. Amen. I mean, someone puts a gun to your head and threatens to take your life, that'll be the best day of your life. You get to go to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
We know the end of the story. Why don't we just give it all to Him? Even in the bad times, the good times, the normal times. Be of good cheer, church. Grace Baptist Church. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. What a crazy idea. You know, when Peter said that, all the other apostles said, here he goes again. Can I ask you something? When's the last time you did something crazy for God? When's the last time you did something for the first time? Amen? Well, we just never do it that way. I know, you're in your boat. It's time to get out of your boat. Well, that's not our tradition. Yeah, it's time to get out of the boat of tradition. Well, no one else is doing it. Yeah, it's time to start doing what no one else is doing. When's the last time you did something for the first time for God where people looked at it and they said, that does not make any sense. And you said, that's my God. I can do all things through Christ. Tell my wife sometimes, she's a Mexican, not a Mexicant. I tried using that in Mexico once with an interpreter. And he said, that's not going to translate. No, they don't. That won't translate. You know, whatever. But it almost didn't translate here, too. But anyways. I can do all things through Christ. I ought to step out by faith. I ought to try something crazy for the Lord. I mean, we do serve a radical God. God becoming flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ dying for you and me and shedding His blood. I'll tell you, He took a risk on you. He gave you a free will. He gave me a free will. I rejected Him 25 years of my life. I used His name in vain. I wanted myself, my sin, the world. And He died for me. And He gave me a free will that I could choose to receive Him. I tell you, He took a big risk on me. And I'm not worth it. I'll let you figure out what you're worth. But I'll tell you, I'm not worth it. I'm not worth the precious blood of Christ. I'm not worth God giving His life for me. But He loved me in spite of me.
Amen.
In spite of me rejecting Him. Now, can I tell you, He stepped out for us.
Amen.
He stepped out of glory. He stepped into flesh.
Amen.
I tell you, we weren't worth it.
Amen.
But when we step out for Him, He is worth it. He's worthy. Why don't we just give Him everything? Why don't we just say, Lord, You can have the boat. Wherever You want me to go, whatever You want me to do, I'm not worth it, but You are, Lord. I'll take a risk for You, Lord. That unconditional love, You'll never leave me nor forsake me. Where You guide, You'll provide. You're my shepherd. Whatever You call me to is the best thing for me. Yeah, I could trust someone like that. So here's Peter. He says, Lord, if that's You, bid me come. I like that. That's an entrepreneur spirit. I mean, that's something that no one has ever done before. Could you imagine you doing something that no one else has done for God?
Yeah.
You see, what's neat about the local church pastor, I believe, is that there are so many different gifts and callings within this church right now.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the young people.
Amen.
I'm talking about some of these young people that God, the Holy Spirit of God, is saying, I got something for you to do that no one has ever done in this church before. And there's some teenagers in here this morning. I know it. And God is saying, I got something for you. And the teens, they call it peer pressure, but really it's fear pressure. It's lack of faith. And well I want to fit in. Why do you want to fit in? Hey, why do we want to fit in this world? This world is crazy.
Amen.
I've been in 3 mental institutions, not me personally. I've got to clarify that. To visit people, okay? And I'm so glad that when I was in there, they didn't say, Mr. Bernsdorf, your bed is right over here. I'm glad they knew I didn't belong there. I'm glad they let me out. I'm glad I didn't act like them. Listen, why do you want to fit into this world? This world is insane. We shouldn't fit in. If you fit in, you got a big problem. So teens, why do you want to fit in with the average teenager? When God comes knocking and saying, I got something different for you. I want you to go over here. I want you to do something. I want you to give me glory. Why don't you just go?
Yeah.
Why don't you let go of your teen boat and your fitting in boat and just say, okay, Lord, You're worthy. I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know what I found is is teenagers that take a stand for God always have other teenagers come behind. And I think your vibe attracts your tribe. I really do. And it's about time God's young people stand up for the Lord. And I believe there'll be a lot of other young people following. Now, who are the teen leaders in here that are willing to step out by faith? Say, Pastor, man, will you pray for me? I really want to do something for God. I bet your pastor will pray for you. And whatever God calls you to, I bet your pastor will support you. Amen. You are the future, by the way. And so here's Peter. He says, I'll come, Lord, if you want me to come. Verse 29. And the Lord, it's not in the Bible, but I think it's between the comma and come. He had a smile on his face. He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now listen, this is the way I see it. And when we see Pete in heaven, you can talk to him. I'm telling you, this is the way it went down. The Lord's out there. He says, come. The waves are, you know, the other disciples are saying, you're crazy. And the Lord, and Peter, he puts one foot in the water and he just, and the Lord says, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? And then he grabs onto the boat and he puts 2 feet in the water and his feet are sinking. And he puts another, and the Lord says, you trust me? You trust me? You're going to follow me? You're going to obey me by faith? And eventually Peter had to realize that it's going to take taking both hands off that boat before he could walk on the water. Isn't that what faith is? Yeah. By the way, this is not faith. Okay, that is not faith. Faith is completely letting go of your boat, whatever your boat might be, and that's when you'll see the miracle happen. That's when you'll see God work in your life. Complete surrender. And so Peter is now walking on water. But let me ask you, what is your boat? What are you afraid to let go of? I bet you there's at least 20, 30 boats in here right now. And you've maybe dipping your toe in the water, trying it out a little bit. Maybe you're even sitting down in the boat with both feet in the water, splashing. This is nice, but the Lord's out there saying, I want you to come a little bit further for me. And you won't let go. Well, notice in verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. You say, well, see, I knew, yeah, it didn't work out. No, it worked out. Peter was the only one that got to experience walking on water with the Lord. You see, the problem, the failure, is not sinking when you get out of the boat. The problem and the failure is not getting out of the boat. I bet you the apostles made fun of Peter after this. But I bet you Peter made fun of them and said, well, you weren't there. I bet you for years Peter would bring this up because they would jab him and he'd jab them and say, boy, you ever walk on water? It's pretty cool stuff. Oh, you weren't there when I was doing it. And they say, well, yeah, but you sunk. Yeah, but I got out of the boat. He got out. He got out. Verse 31, it's okay because immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You see, I believe our biggest obstacle is fear and doubt. It really is. He said of little faith. You see, this water walking was all preparation, I believe, for the future. And so many times we forget to thank the past times of trials and failures for a better future. That's what makes us. Falling and getting up and falling and getting up, but we continue to walk with the Lord. You know, Peter did a pretty good job on Pentecost, didn't he? And I think this was all preparation here. Verse 32, when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You see, if Peter never got out of the boat, Jesus would have never gotten glorified here. And I believe God is calling each and every one of you out of your boat. Why? So the Lord will be glorified. Amen. I really do. I believe that. So what is your boat this morning? Well, there's the money boat. There's the money boat. Oh, that's a big one. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. That's a big boat. a popular boat. Well, if I do this for the Lord, where's the money going to come from? How am I going to... And it's all about the dough. Are you willing to let go of your money boat for the Lord? Oh, there's the logic boat. That doesn't make any sense, and I'm just a reasonable guy. I don't want to be so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good. You got it wrong. Got to flip that around, amen? You're so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good. The logic boat. How about the self boat? Well, I can do it. I can do it. No, you can't. You can't do anything in and of yourself. You have to completely surrender and sacrifice yourself to God. That's when God will work. Well, I just got to do it myself. Well, the self boat. How about the worldly boat? If I get out here, I'm not going to fit into this world. Good. Good. Amen. How about the sin boat? Oh, yeah. The sin boat. By the way, the Lord's calling all of us out of the sin boat. Well, if I go over here, then I'm going to have to repent. Amen. Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to do that for the Lord, then I won't be able to have my sin. Amen. You willing to let go of sin and repent of sin? How about the family boat? Isn't the family boat, it's like the love boat. The family boat. I mean, you don't get that, but... The family boat. Well, if the Lord's calling me over here, I'm not going to be able to obey my wife anymore. She's not going to like this. What about my kids, Lord? Who's going to take care of my kids? The family boat. Oh, I struggled with that one. Hey, it's not easy leaving family and going to another country. It's not easy not seeing your grandchildren all the time. The family boat. But didn't Jesus say, if you really love me, you got to let go of your family? Got to let go of what other people think about you? Oh, there's the parent boat. Well, my mom doesn't believe that, or my dad doesn't, but my dad's not even saved. And I don't want to cause a problem with my mom or dad. Well, my mom and dad are saved, so I must be okay. Nope, God has no grandchildren. Young people, you need to step out for yourself. There's the job boat. The job boat. I mean, I have a job. God's given me this job and this responsibility. And if I step out over here, what's going to happen? I mean, I've done this for 10 years, 15, 20 years. You got to let go of the job boat. Get on God's boat. There's the pride boat. Again, this goes with fear. If God calls me out here, I mean, I'm probably going to sink and I'm probably going to fail. You know what that is? That's pride. Afraid of failure. Am I hitting anybody this morning? There's the tradition boat and the majority boat. And it goes on and on. And I don't know what your boat is, but God knows and you know. And God is calling you this morning to do something for Him, to glorify Him. The question is, are you willing to get out of your boat? It's going to take courage. It's going to take faith. But the Lord is with you. I love in Hebrews chapter 13 where it talks about the Lord. He got outside the camp to bear the reproach. Outside the walls of Jerusalem. Outside the walls of tradition and religion to Calvary. He got outside for you and for me. And the Lord says, I want you to come outside the camp. It's a call to surrender. It's a call to sacrifice. It's a call to faith. It's a call to obedience. It's a call to glorify Him. I just hope that this morning, right now, you'd take a few moments and you'd look deep within your heart and you would say, Holy Spirit of God, Father, would you show me what my boat is and will you allow me to take my hands off and completely get outside of whatever that comfort is and trust you and obey you and go wherever you want me to go? Amen. I hope you would do that. Every head bowed, every eye closed. What is your boat this morning? Maybe there's someone here and all you can think about is money. And you can't follow the Lord. You're restricted. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's popularity. Maybe it's majority. Maybe it's tradition. Maybe it's because you're afraid of looking like a failure and you've never seen anyone do it before. Whatever it might be, as the piano begins to play, the altar is open. Will you get out of your boat? Would you be willing to take a step to an altar to just show the Lord and say, Lord, I mean business. I've been clinging to something that is restricting me. I want to be fluid with you, Lord. I want to surrender everything to you and let you know that I am willing to go wherever you want me to go. Teens, listen, don't try to fit in. Why don't you fit in with God? Why don't you fear God more than you fear man? I'm telling you, God can do mighty things through teenagers. Really, really can. Maybe you're here this morning and there's a sin in your life that's holding you back from becoming a water walker with God. Would you be willing to repent of sin this morning? God doesn't want 95% of you. God doesn't want 99% of you. He wants that 1% that you can't let go of. I believe that's where the Lord really works in our lives, when we surrender all. Pastor, you can come.